You are now listening to the smooth, mellifluous sounds of Red's Room Podcast. Enjoy.
Welcome to episode number 42 of the Red's Room Podcast. I'm your host, Red.
And I'm your co-host, Jake.
And today we are talking about the Druids. As always, our references are in the episode description. So, we're going to get to little details here, let you guys know what the Druids are.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's into fantasy at all is probably somewhat familiar with some of the ideas around what Druids are.
Yeah, definitely.
And our last episode kind of ties to it in the idea that it's kind of a Celtic Irish thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Fantastical. Yeah. Just interesting peoples or types of people or however you want to say it.
Yeah. So I'm going to read you guys a little bit here about them and then we will discuss.
Let's do it.
A druid is a member of the learned class among the ancient Celts. They acted as priests, teachers, and judges. The earliest known records of the Druids come from the 3rd century BCE. Their name may have come from a Celtic word meaning knower of the oak tree. Very little is known for certain about the Druids, who kept no records of their own. While they were reported to have been literate, they are believed to have been prevented by doctrine from recording their knowledge in written form. Their beliefs and practices are attested in some detail by their contemporaries from other cultures, such as the Romans and the Greeks. So this is going to be...
Yeah.
This is the biggest issue with them.
Yeah, I was just kind of going to say that. That's where I feel like if you're going to be a naysayer or whatever stance you want to take on them, that why wouldn't they record their shit? And I guess you were saying it was, I guess, a preventative measure from whatever doctrine was written by whatever king or queen or whatever. But I guess the only thing that really does support them, though, is that they do pop up in other people's literature and shit like that. So there is some documentation of them, just not from their own hands.
Yeah, I think it, we'll get into it somewhere later. I think it's mentioned, but their teachings were all learned orally. You had to memorize them. Mm-hmm. I think it took, you know, many, like 20, 30 years for some people because to become a druid, you had to memorize everything. They didn't write it down. For some reason, it was part of their belief, which is really cool.
It's kind of badass. It sucks for us trying to look into what they were all about, but it is...
Right.
I don't know if I've ever heard of a group of people that had that same ideal of, no, we don't... They don't have, like, a Bible or anything like that. Like, it's all up here.
It's all memorized, which is part of why they were probably so OP.
Yeah.
IQ 1000.
IQ's high. I guess they probably were enlightened in a way. They had knowledge that most don't. But
I do like that they think their name comes from the word meaning knower of the oak tree.
Yeah, that was interesting too.
That's freaking sweet. Mm-hmm. I want to wear a robe and be knower of the oak tree. yeah, so we'll get into some more deets here. Julius Caesar, I don't know if you've heard of him,
mm-hmm.
kind of a big guy, awesome salads. No, Julius Caesar wrote that they were one of the two most important social groups in the region, the other one being the nobles.
Okay.
And were responsible for organizing worship and sacrifices, divination, and judicial procedure in Gaelic, British, and Irish societies. He wrote that they were exempt from military service and from paying taxes, and had the power to excommunicate people from religious festivals, making them social outcasts. Two other classical writers, Diodorus, Sicolsus, and Strabo.
Yeah, I had trouble with that one too. He popped up in the research I did.
Yeah, I have problems with the pronunciations. Excuse me for that, but they sound very important. Wrote about the role of Druids in Gaelic society, stating that the Druids were held in such respect that if they intervened between two armies, they could stop the battle.
Oh, okay.
And I think that would make a sweet movie.
Yeah,
I want to see it.
Two fat armies, and they just like walk up in the middle like, yo, put
some
down
druid
the swords.
Comes up. Yeah, it comes. He has like a vision or something. Yeah, that would be sweet.
But I also find it interesting, even back then, the tax exemption was a big deal, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I bet they didn't give a shit about money or currency or whatever, but...
I like how that's always been related to religious things.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing.
Scientology.
Yeah.
That was just a big deal for them, getting that tax exemption. I mean...
Yeah, and then all the things they were connected to were very interesting, too. They organized worship, sacrifices, divination, and judicial procedure. I think, isn't that like prophecy? I think that's predicting things.
Let me look it up. Divination. Oh, okay. The practice of seeking knowledge of the future. There you go.
Nailed it.
You did nail that one. Respect.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, because I know like in the Bible, what would they do for divination? They would cast lots, I think. But yeah, however they did it, it's pretty interesting.
Mm.
We don't know how they did it, but we know they did. Okay. I'm going to continue on some more. So, Diodorus writes of the Druids that they were philosophers and men learned in religious affairs who are honored. Strabo mentions that their domain was both natural philosophy and moral philosophy, while Ammianus Marcellinus list them as investigators of obscure and profound subjects. I like the way he wrote that.
Mm-hmm. That was a good way to say it, for sure.
That's how I want us to be listed. We are investigators of obscure and profound subjects. Pretty cool. Druidic lore consisted of a large number of verses learned by heart, as we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And Caesar remarked that it could take up to 20 years to complete the course of study.
Okay.
What was taught to Druid novices anywhere is conjecture of the Druids' oral literature. Not one certifiably ancient verse is known to have survived, even in tradition. All instruction was communicated orally, but for ordinary purposes. Caesar reports, the Gauls had a written language in which they used Greek letters. In this, he probably draws on earlier writers. By the time of Caesar, Gaulish inscriptions had moved from Greek script to Latin script, so they used to use Greek. However, Caesar believed that this practice of oral transmission of knowledge and opposition to recording their ideas had dual motives. One, they wanted to keep the Druidic knowledge from becoming common. And two, it was to improve the Druids' faculties of memory, which both seem very practical. Makes a lot of sense, right?
I guess from their point of view, yes. But as far as... I guess they just want to stay secretive. Practicality-wise, I don't know if it's the best way to go about it, but...
I think the memory thing is important, probably. But yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, keeping it secret.
that's the only way I can kind of make it make sense in my head, is like whoever was saying it, that they didn't want it to become a common practice. I don't know why. What was the goal for that? Maybe it could get too big for its own good. And
yeah, I don't know. That's kind of a common thing in history, right? Uh-huh. Withholding knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. But it's just something. Make your own opinion about it. I don't really know how I feel about that part. It's weird to me, but I get it.
Yeah, what's the idea? Is it to... It doesn't seem like with the druids, it's because they want to hold power over people.
Yeah.
Is it because the knowledge would be scary to someone
mm-hmm.
who's not prepared for it? Yeah. I wonder.
Because if the knowledge was just exposed, maybe part of the way to become a full-on competent druid is that 20-year struggle of, you know, learning and memorizing. And, you know, if that's all out, if that all that info is out just at once, maybe it wouldn't be good. But
yeah,
something to think about.
Maybe it's something you need to build to that level of understanding. Somebody shouldn't just be able to read the end.
Yeah.
Which... That makes sense, I think.
That's the only way in my head that it would make sense to me, but who knows? All their info's gone, so
it's a shame.
It is a shame, man.
Yeah, we'll never know the secrets.
Yeah, this is like the complete opposite of the burning of what is it, the Library of Alexandria or
yeah, where it was all recorded and then lost.
Whereas this, it was all in their heads and they were
mm-hmm. Killed off.
Yep.
Okay, one more paragraph in this section. The Roman writer Pliny the Elder, I believe we talked about him in Gilgamesh, the Epic of Gilgamesh, maybe?
Did
or
we? Okay.
Was it in the Crusade? No, not Crusades. That was before that. We talked about him. No, he's much older. Christians stuff, maybe?
I don't recognize him. I can't recall.
Maybe when we talked about some Christian
touched
stuff.
Touched on him a little bit,
but
maybe.
Pliny the Elder comes up. He's a historian mm-hmm. that's come up many times. I know we talked about him. Can't remember when, but cool dude. So the Roman writer Pliny the Elder, who lived in the first century AD, discussed the importance of both mistletoe and the fifth day of the moon to druids. He wrote that mistletoe is gathered with rites replete with religious awe. This is done more particularly on the fifth day of the moon, the day which is the beginning of their months and years, as also of the ages. Maybe it was on Christmas, because this, to me, sounds very similar to Christmas beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And the Germanic fucking...
Which were influenced by Germanic, but also Celtic things, which would be the druids.
Mm-hmm. I can see the connection there, especially. I mean, they say mistletoe, so...
I don't know if the druids were in Germany or not. Now I'm wondering that.
Should I do another
quick
Google search? We gotta love Google.
Yeah, thank you, Google. Thanks, Jake, for checking on that. Because, they were part of Welsh, Celtic, Gaelish society... That's very close to the German society, perhaps. If not, they must have had something similar.
So Caesar claims that there was that the Germans had no organized priesthood and no druids, but
okay,
it does clarify that Caesar he didn't visit every group or Germanic tribe, so maybe there is a chance. Maybe they were influenced a little bit.
They had to have something. Okay, but they didn't, as far as we know, have the druids there. Mm-hmm. But, those things were similar to things they practiced. We know that.
Yeah, there
much.
Definitely is some similarities there.
Huh,
for
that
sure.
Is interesting. Okay, so with that, my next section is their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into a little bit of what the druids believed.
Yeah, good segue.
Within the druid class, it is believed that there were subsections, all with color-coded robes. Badass.
That's...
Jedis.
Yeah.
What color would you have, Jake?
See, I want to say something dope, but do you stick with just the black, brown, gray?
Black or brown.
Or do you go with, like, something a little crazier, because like
I want like a dark purple.
I was gonna say purple would be dope, but I feel like purple signifies like you're more top tier, you know.
True.
I would like to know the classes of how, but
gray, Gandalf.
I think, yeah.
Gandalf.
Like, gray would be dope. I think you might have hit the nail on the head though. Dark purple would look clean.
That'd be dope. That's gotta be for like the super OP
especially
ones.
Like the beard has to be growed out, fat.
You probably practically though want like a dark brown one.
Dark brown.
To like blend in with nature better. I don't know.
Hey, the oak tree, baby.
The oak tree. Knower of the oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, did you, with that side note, think any of the Bohemian Grove weird, the weird stuff there with that? Cause I did,
when
they're worshiping the owl and they have like the dark brown robes, like,
and everyone's fucking screaming.
They said that they were trying to like use druid type ceremony there.
I mean, we're going to get into some sacrifice stuff as well. So, I mean, I could see it. There is definitely some crossover there with sacrificing the...
like they're using some twisted version of druid beliefs mixed with some other pagan stuff, probably.
Yeah, definitely some pagan stuff there, and the whole Moloch thing and the effigy. There's some... I don't know. They just... I guess if I was to see like an actual druid ritual, like if I could peer back in time, it would probably look pretty fucking crazy, but...
Probably would.
Yeah. I don't know. They're both doing crazy shit.
Okay. Yeah. I thought of that, though.
No, I can see the crossover for sure.
Right on. Okay. I'll continue on, guys. The eldest druid, or one deemed to be the most wise, was the arc druid and would wear gold robes.
Dude.
Oh, we didn't think of that one.
Yeah, the gold.
Gold. Okay. The ordinary druids would wear white and act as priests.
Mm-hmm.
The sacrificers, would fight and wear red.
Okay.
The blue bards were artistic, and the new recruits to Druidism completed lesser tasks and were held in lesser esteem wearing brown or black. So if you wore brown or black, you were just like the noobs.
You were low tier. Okay.
Okay.
I like the top tier gold, then the whites and the blues the reds.
I'd probably be blue.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, you would be in a brown or black turd colored one, probably.
Probably. No. Yeah, no, I'd be low tier for sure. I'd be picking up bundles of fucking wood and
you'd
shit.
You'd be like Hodor.
Yeah, dude, I'm down because I'm a dumbass, but in the end of the day, like, I'm like
you're still getting it done.
Like I'm shadowed. Everyone like thinks I'm the outcast, but like when shit goes down, like
Jake,
throw the retard
there
out there for the play, you know. And I'll do something crazy.
No. Okay. Anyways, all aspects of Druidism were well structured and ordered, from the hierarchy of the druid class to their pattern of life that followed nature's cycles. They observed lunar, solar, and seasonal cycles and worshipped according to these on 8 main holidays. They would celebrate, which, by the way, they didn't spell it like we spell holidays. It's holly space days, which is interesting, I thought.
Or is it holy days?
Holy days. Oh, you're right. I'm retarded.
No, I
that is holy.
No, yeah. I mean, kind of a similar idea, though.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I don't know why. I was just thinking they were all connected
to
nature.
No, I get it. Sometimes when you read something, you just...
I was just thinking it was connected to nature too much. But yeah, so 8 main holy days. Thank you, Jake. They would celebrate New Year on the Samhain.
Yeah.
The day we refer to as Halloween, that's when they celebrate New Year. Interesting. So they celebrate New Year in October.
So did they have like a Gregorian calendar or was it...
That would, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's interesting.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. What their calendar would be. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Good question. But yeah, this their new year. This was when the last harvest would take place, and it was a day full of mysticism and spirituality because the living and the deceased were the closest to being revealed to each other than any other day. I thought that was interesting because it's the same for Mexicans.
Oh, Dia de Muertos.
Yeah, which is close to Halloween. Mm-hmm. And they thought the same thing about that type of year,
mm-hmm.
that you are the closest to...
to the dead.
To the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And the dead. Yeah, that's... mm-hmm. It's weird that these people not connected...
there's definitely some crossovers.
...have a similar idea around this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
The next one was Yule, was the winter solstice, a time when druids would sit on mounds of earth, for example, at the New Grange in Ireland, throughout the night, waiting for sunrise when they would be reborn. And we touched on this when on our Christmas episode of Yule, the mm-hmm. celebration of Yule being a predecessor to what Christmas is now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a druid religion
as well,
ideal celebration, mm-hmm. originally, which is really cool. But yeah, they're not the only ones. Just like, it seems like every ancient civilization celebrates the solstices. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%.
The next one is called Imbolc, which was the 2nd of February. This involved using sheep's milk by way of celebrating motherhood.
Hmm. It's a Mother's Day shit.
The next one is Ostara, which is the spring equinox.
Okay, yeah.
Then the next one is Beltane, which took place on the 30th of April as a festival of fertility.
There's the fertility again.
Fertility one, which like for us would be Easter. What is Easter? Is it around that time?
Yeah, April. Yeah.
Interesting. Same themes popping up.
Mm-hmm.
Litha is the next one. Was the summer's... oh, no, I'm sorry. I read that line, didn't I? No, I didn't. Litha was the summer solstice, a time when they believed that the... okay, this time it does say Holly. Belief that the Holly King took over from the Oak King of Yule. Then Lunasa was the first harvest on the 2nd of August. And Mabon was the autumnal equinox.
Okay, so another season shift there.
Then the cycle of holy days would repeat itself again, reflecting the cycles of nature, planets, and indeed life itself. As the druids believed in reincarnation,
yep.
they also believed that sins committed in a previous life could be made up for in the next. This is another belief that many religions have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is...
yeah.
Also, I don't know why I blanked on it. Easter is March 31st, but we were close.
Okay, March.
Yeah, we were close.
So
very
March,
end.
And then this is April.
The end of 30th. April. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're in the neighborhood there.
It's close, but not exactly. Mm. But it is interesting. I would say it's still close that people are celebrating the same type of thing.
Yeah. There's definitely...
around the same type of the year.
Yeah, you know? Even nowadays, there's some similar dates there. And the whole idea of the different solstices, whatever, that pops up in many different beliefs and areas. So it checks a lot of the boxes. Like it seems pretty legit to me. Like,
yeah, how all of our religious things are tied to the seasons and then to the solstices. Mm-hmm. So to the cosmos.
Pretty sweet.
Pretty cool. Continuing on. Their places of worship, called temples of the druids, were quiet, secluded areas, like clearings in woods and forests and stone circles. Probably the most famous stone circle in Britain is Stonehenge, an ancient megalithic monument dating back to about 2500 BC.
Way back.
Most people's first thoughts about the druids might be of them congregating around Stonehenge and casting magical incantations. There is indeed thought that this was a place of worship for them, and it still is today for pagans and other neo-Druids. There is disagreement, though, about whether the Druids built Stonehenge or not. It is not clear exactly when the Druids came to Britain, but it is likely that they actually arrived after Stonehenge was built.
Okay.
However, there's no evidence.
Yeah.
Because everything was oral.
Is fucking, yeah, none of it's around anymore.
Yeah, I mean, how do you know that if they built it or arrived after or they used it or they didn't? Someone used it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stonehenge is another interesting one. So I thought it interesting, though, that they didn't usually build stuff. They just found a spot in nature.
Like a clearing in the woods or...
Yeah, and to me, I think if you want to get mystical, that's a spot that had the right energy, probably the right feeling that this was a holy spot.
Like everyone's following the shaman and they're walking and walking for hours and hours. And then it's like, then he gets a feeling like, yo,
this is the spot.
This is the fucking spot right here.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the kind of way I picture it. Yeah. And then that's where they would commune with nature and do their super sweet magic stuff and transform into bears. No, I don't know. I don't know what they did, but it's really cool. You got any other cool stuff to say about them?
I guess what I found really interesting about the Druids, which you touched on it a little bit, was the sacrifice element. Supposedly, they were into human sacrifices.
Supposedly,
on the wiki, Greek and Roman writers frequently made reference to the Druids as practitioners of human sacrifice. Caesar says those who had been found guilty of theft or other criminal offenses were considered preferable for use as sacrificial victims. But when criminals were in short supply, innocence would be acceptable.
Whoa.
Which I was like, oh, okay.
I wonder how that worked.
Were they volunteers? Yeah. Maybe like, do you hate your life? Like we can
like the Aztecs and Mayans or
whatever. Yeah, maybe.
Was it honorable to be that sacrifice?
Maybe it was. I guess the whole idea of the sacrifice as well is to be in good, like a good place with the Celtic gods. Like, I guess, you know, giving up your own or whatever was a sign that you're like with the shits, you know? I don't know. Personally, I don't fucking get it, but for whatever reason, they had a reason for why it was a good thing to do.
It's an interesting theme that has arisen in human history over and over again.
In that same wiki article, that same guy, Diodorus, he asserts that a sacrifice acceptable to the Celtic gods, they had to be attended by druids, so that was their fucking thing. And I guess the reason why they had to be there was they were kind of like the in-between of the people and the gods.
Yeah, they're like the mediators.
So in order for it to be a correct sacrifice or whatever, they would have to be in attendance to... I'm assuming there was a ritual, some way it started, some words that had to be said. And then I was telling Red about this before, too. The whole... when you were talking... What was that one word of foretelling the future? Started with a D. Whatever.
Divination.
Yeah, divination. The best example of druid foretelling the future is this character named Cathbad, the chief druid in the court of King, I'm going to try my best here, Conchobar. Cathbad features in several tales, most of which detail his ability to foretell the future. In the tale of Deirdre of the Sorrows, the druid prophesies before the court of Conchobar that Deirdre would grow up to be very beautiful and that kings and lords would go to war over her. Much blood would be shed because of her. And Ulster's three greatest warriors, I guess he's the king, his three greatest warriors would be forced into exile because of her. This prophecy was ignored and later it came true. So pretty interesting. Maybe there was a few top tier druids that could tell the future.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool prophecy, and it came true.
And it came, supposedly it came true. I touched on a little bit of the reincarnation stuff. You touched on that. It was interesting that the Druids believed in that as well. They kind of have like a mix of some ideals all put into one. Like, they got the sacrifice stuff, they got the reincarnation stuff, they got the shaman-like stuff, the being one with nature kind of all into one, which mm-hmm. was interesting. And I was trying to look up a reason, once again, I touched on before, of why they sacrifice, but it was just to be in good graces, really.
Just appeasing the gods?
I guess Caesar quoted, "Unless the life of a man be offered, the mind of immortal gods will not favor them." So that's kind of how he put it. That was on a National Geographic article, by the way. I don't know if he actually said that, but according to them.
Man, what a quote.
Mm-hmm. That's about what I got. Just a few extra things to throw in, yeah.
Pretty cool. Interesting. I like that example of that druid giving that prophecy that came out to be true. Pretty yeah. sweet.
Cathbad. The druid Cathbad.
Cathbad. Mm-hmm. Again, could make a badass movie. But yeah. So now all I got to talk about is I just got a little bit here on the end of the druids.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to them? So in the first century AD, druids were facing oppression from the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone.
Yeah.
Freaking Romans.
yeah, they just had to fucking destroy everything.
Pretty much. Indeed, Tiberius banned Druidism because of the supposed human sacrifices.
So I guess that's where you say it again, supposed. I guess no one really fucking knows for sure.
Yeah. What did it really happen, or was it just used as an excuse to get mm-hmm. rid of them? I don't know. After this, in the second century, Druidism appeared to end. There are a couple of theories to try and explain this. The first is that, as with many ancient societies, disease, famine, or warfare could have wiped them out. The second implicates that the arrival of Christianity led to their decline.
It kind of, took over.
I don't know. I feel like the Romans just wiped them out. But
That makes sense to me.
But it could have been a combination of all those things mm-hmm. together.
Maybe the rising in Christianity and the decline of Druidism. Also, it's kind of dope. Druidism, I think Judaism. Druidism. That would make sense. It was kind of a combination of both things. And maybe they did get sick too, or there was a big famine. The harvest wasn't good.
I don't buy the sickness one.
You don't think so?
I don't know why. I just don't buy that one. Maybe that's just me being too paranoid, but if they're so in tune with nature and had so many secrets, I just feel like they wouldn't get wiped out by mm-hmm. sickness. But maybe they did. I feel like the other two things make more sense. The Romans wiping them out and Christianity just
rising up and just getting really big.
Christianity was really popping off around that time, mm-hmm. so I feel like people stopped going to druids. You know, mm-hmm. they just stopped believing in those things and kind of led to their decline.
Yeah, kind of just...
They weren't really in demand anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Probably less people cared about trying to memorize things for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, and just stopped, you know. It's too bad nobody at that time started writing everything down.
Yeah. It would have been dope if, like, a few druids did see the writing on the wall of the Romans and the other rising Christianity to just fucking write it down and seal it in a fucking vault. Maybe we fucking dig that fucker up, but I doubt it. They probably just...
The Catholics have it.
Yeah, maybe. But then they burnt it.
No. In the vault. It's sealed in the Vatican vaults, I'm sure.
But
they got everything down there, all the secrets.
I feel like that whole thing of me, like, I'm hoping, you know, maybe they wrote it down and preserved it somewhere. I bet, like, they're really strong in their ideals or whatever, and they were probably just down to go out, you know, just go out the way that they've always
done
it.
Go down with
the
boat?
Exactly.
I could see that. Yeah. I just feel like, yeah, probably, they probably stopped getting recruits.
Yeah, maybe it dried up.
Yeah, people are like, what? I gotta wear the brown and black robes and slave for you for a while, and for 20 years I gotta learn this before I can be anything. Like,
yeah.
Who's gonna work for 20 years to be something?
like, let's be honest, not a lot of people. So I could see that being the biggest thing when Christianity took a took its place. People were joining that, and what do? Win in Rome.
Yeah.
I guess, you know. So
pun intended.
That's all I got on the Druids. You got any other last thoughts?
I don't really have much. I had a lot of similar stuff to you. I think they're cool. I wish there was more info about them, man.
Yeah. Like many topics that we cover.
Exactly.
We wish there was more info about them. So, yeah. If anyone knows any secret cool druidic lore.
Drop a comment.
Yeah. Drop it. Let us know.
And you've said before, like, maybe if something popped up or there was more information, we could maybe make another episode. But I just don't really see anything else coming out.
I don't see it happening. Me but either. If something does... We'd love to come back to it. So yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Until next time, I'm Red.
This is Jake.
See you.